Welcome again to episode 2, 3, John?
I think we're on number two.
Episode 2 of our long Cubbies Across the Pond podcast. As always, you are joined by myself, Michael, and the better half of the Twitter page podcast stratosphere, Joe. Joe, how's it going?
I'm doing brill, mate. We are turning around very slowly, but it's great to see. So it's bringing a smile to my face. How are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, good. A lot better than when we were last recording. And we were just in the middle of the series against the Pirates. And the listeners were aware, because I did kind of make it aware on the Twitter page. Me and yourself, we probably had a good 40 minutes of recording that we couldn't use just because of, sound issues, etc. We made some bold claims about that Pirate series that I'm glad never actually made the air, Joey, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it was more of a blooper reel for us, wasn't
It really was. It really was. So, kind of dodged a bit of a bullet there, mate. But yeah, as you said, slowly, slowly, like a tank turning this around, mate, turning this around. And we'll go into that. We'll go into kind of, the last series. We're recording this on Sunday, the 25th of April. So we are 1-1 in the current series against the Brewers. We'll talk about that. The division in general, because only 20 games in, but it's a lot closer than I thought anyone thought it was gonna be. And then we've got an away week coming up this week, so we'll preview that. And yeah, I think let's just take it from there. Let's just ad lib and see where we go. It's just great to talk about Cubs baseball.
Yeah, I think especially what this like past series we scored more runs than we had all season in like four or five games. It's great to see the bats are back. The pitching's still doing its thing. It's amazing to see.
It is, mate. And let's start from there. Let's start from the series in the last week or so. So we're coming off a 1-2 against the Braves, and then who would have predicted a sweep against the Mets? I mean, I wouldn't have predicted that. I don't think you would have.
I mean, I've always got like a cheeky feeling against Lindor just because of the World Series opportunity we had against him. So I think we're in his head that he's a bit scared of the Cubs, maybe. Don't know.
Yeah, and let's put a disclaimer out there now, Joe. It was against a DeGromless Mets. So, he went out last night against the, or was it night before against the Nationals? And I think he K'd 12, 13, 14. He's 15, actually, I think it was. It was
It was
insane.
15, yeah.
He's a great pitcher. He's a phenomenal pitcher. There's no getting away from that. But still, to sweep the Mets, and that second game as well, I mean, it was 16-4. It wasn't even close. I mean, the bats are just, there's no in between, is there? We either hit three, four runs, or we hit double figures. There's no, let's go out and hit a solid 7-8. Let's see where that gets us.
Yeah, I thought I was watching a bit of American football this past week with the scores coming out. I thought the Cubs had a couple of touchdowns and everything going on there. But I think the Cubs are very friendly with each other. They want to hit together or they don't want to hit together, and that's what they've always been like. I think since we've been doing this Twitter page, they're always a bit inconsistent with the bats. But I think we've been lucky where the inconsistency has been more of a consistency, where them bad games don't happen that much. We saw it at the start of the season, but it's still turning around a lot more now.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And more stress as well in this 16-4 game. There were so many errors by the Mets. I think they did four in the end. It
Yeah.
was very error-strewn. You look at the statistics, it probably didn't suggest it was a 16-4 game. But how often are we on the other end of those where,
Oh, constantly, mate.
of course, where the scoreline suggests that we've potentially been battered, but when you look at the statistics, it's actually been quite a close game. It was just one of those games, really. So let's go back a little bit further and talk about that Brave series, because again, that Brave series was also slightly unique in the sense that in the middle game, sorry, again, we won 13-4. We absolutely smashed them. Unfortunately, that was sandwiched by two losses, and the second loss being quite a heavy 13-4 loss to us. Now, again, like you said, it's just that it's that inconsistency that will make us probably only a 500 team this year. Do you agree?
It matters if we get hot or if we get cold. It's one of them things. You can't. It's a flip of a coin right now.
Yeah.
And I think as well, I think the Cubs, obviously with Jay Hay and the Braves and Freddie, there's a little bit of a love-hate rivalry there. So I think they're always going to be up for it's more of a fun game between the two teams. And I think that's why we're getting big scores like 13-4 from both teams. And yeah, that's what's sort of happening there. But I think the Mets, it was more of just we wanted to beat the Mets after the 2015 knocking us out. That could have been a World Series there. That could have been a back-to-back World Series for us, looking at paper. So I think there's that more rivalry aspect to it. So I think we took it more seriously. I don't know if you saw that yourself.
Yeah, no, I personally think so. And there is always a little bit of that, like I said, that rivalry with the Cubs and the Mets kind of. So, I 100% agree. I think potentially the Mets, we probably did take it a little bit more serious. I mean, off the back of that Braves loss, that 13-4 Braves loss, I mean, it was one of those phenoms where somehow we didn't even get an inning out of Hendricks. That doesn't happen. That does not happen, and it happened. And we were on the back foot from them. But yeah, I agree. The Mets series, you could see it meant more. You could see it meant more to the players that were there in 2015. You could see it meant more to the likes of Ross, who were a bit more fired up. And everyone's been talking the Mets off, you know, early preseason. You know, they've made some good moves. You know, signed Lindor to a massive deal, etc. And they've made some good moves. So I think it's really, really important that, you know, we showed them that we were no pushovers.
Yeah, for the start of the season, I think if you look at last year, I think the Cubs are always a shout to be a World Series favourite, but the Mets weren't. And I think these two teams are swapped. And what's made the difference is the Cubs, I don't think, are going down without a fight. I don't think we've ever thought that. We knew they weren't going to be as good, but there was always going to be a bit of a fight in this dog. And they're still barking away.
Yeah, no, definitely. They are still barking away. And yeah, like you said, I think people expect it to almost roll over without a fight. You know, you look at all of the, I mean, we mentioned this on the last pod, you look at all the predictions before. No, everyone in our league was Brewers or Cards, Brewers or Cards, Brewers or Cards. And, you know, everyone, you know, people were saying Cubs were going to be fourth in their league, etc. And we're really showing that, you know, we have got a good core still. Of course we have. You know, okay, we may not have many of them in the coming years. We may only be able to afford two out of four. Who knows? But at the moment, we've still got them. And, you know, if that four play like they we know they can, and like they're currently playing at the moment, then there's no reason why we couldn't make October.
Yeah. Right now, I'm feeling October.
Good man. Good man. I mean, and said, what are we doing well at the moment? Even yesterday when we lost 4-3, we're mixing the big ball and the small ball. You know, in that battering of the Mets, we, you know, smashed, you know, a fair few out of the park. Jay Hay last night, his first one of the season out of the park. But we've also getting on base. We're getting the singles, we're getting the doubles. Sogard's coming in, you know, making a lot of contact like he always does. And that's why it's working so well for us. We're not trying to hit everything solely out of the park. We're just trying to get on base. And then, you know what? If we do hit it out of the park, great.
I think the biggest complaint for me last year was the lack of small ball. I think we've got a lot of hitters with big names. And with big names, you've got to hit home runs.
Yes.
Unless you are like this speed demon or like a stolen base king. And none of the players we got are, you know what I mean? They're not the Trey Turners of baseball. So being small ball isn't a necessary branding thing that the Cubs really want to go for, but it's working a lot. I think that bat of Ian Happ hasn't come up yet, but he's getting on base. He's getting the walks.
And
it's working.
It is. I mean, and this is why, you know, the batting average is so discredited these days. Because you look at his batting average and you go, and he's hitting a 155. And you're going, God, what's happened there? But then you're looking at his on-base percentage, and that's almost at 320. So, you know, he's leading the team walks, just, by the way, because Rizzo's been walked 12 times as well. So Rizzo's I'm really, really, really glad that Rizzo was turning it around, because at the start of the year, he was a bit quiet, but you never sleep on Tony Riz, ever. And he's now making contact. He's getting the walks when needed. He's hitting the home runs. I think I think he's our leader in home runs.
It is currently run.
It's Javi and Wilson, isn't it? Yeah. So, but he's still hitting the, you know, he's getting it in play. He's getting on base, and Hap will work it out. He's too good a player to stay at a less than 200 average for the season. But like you said, he's not getting the balls to hit.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, like 10 years ago, you could throw down the middle to your start to like your leadoff hitter. And that's changed now. I think managers were like, why don't we just put a good batter up? And that's what the Cubs have done. So you're not getting them opportunities as a leadoff hitter now. They're pitching to a leadoff like you would normally. So he's seen as their best player from last year. So he's being treated as their best player. He just needs to sort of turn it around. Hopefully he can. Fingers crossed.
Well, yeah. I mean, because to be fair, I mean, let's talk about the outfield. Because obviously we've got Pedersen on the injured list at the moment. And again, he was struggling at the start of this year anyway. So, you know, the likes of, you know, yesterday we had Haywood Happ and we put KB left field and played Matt Duffy at third base. Marisnik, mate, I like him.
He's a good, it was one of them players it was like we've replaced Almora with a better Almora.
Yeah.
And that's what's worked. We didn't need to go out of the way and sign a Mike Trout sort of player. We just needed somebody on the bench to come up and do his job, and that's what he's doing.
Oh, 100%. And like you said, it's not like the Pedersen trade when we basically just got a different looking Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
With the Marisnik trade, it is a better Almora Jr. And you know what? I hope he gets more of a chance. I mean, does he play tonight, as an example, in our last game against the Brewers? Would you have him starting?
I can see him being in centre, and then either Hap goes into left, because he was doing some good little plays in left field.
He was
the other day, and then put KB back at third, or maybe even have J-Hay have a rest as well. And there's always, I think what's great about this team is it's so changeable.
Yes.
And you can move people around. Boaty can go in the outfield, even though I don't really want him batting right now. but you can put anyone up there. And as long as you've got Rizzo on first, I'm happy right now.
100%, mate, 100%. And yeah, I'm with you. I think Haywood will play today just because it's a series closer. Yeah. They've got Woodruff on the mound. We've got Jake. So, you know, let's be brutally honest, mate. Woodruff's a good pitcher. He's a very good pitcher. But Jake's pulling up trees this year. You know, he's been solid. I was maybe a little bit concerned he was going to be our number two, if I'm going to be brutally honest, before the start of the season. But he's pitching a lot better than I thought he was going to.
He's leading wins, he's leading ERA, he's leading whip, he's leading in his pitch. He's our best pitcher right now. So it's sort of gone our ace currently versus their ace on paper. So it's either going to be a very pitcher dominant game, or it's just going to be everyone's just going to get started hitting. And it's just going to be the pitchers are out in 2 seconds and we're just on to relief again.
We'll talk about relief in a sec, just because I want to kind of get your thoughts on this kind of current series. Obviously, 1-1. Where do you see it going tonight? Do you see us getting the series win, or do you see them people? Because remember, they've already beat us 2-1 at Wrigley this season already. So I think we need to get this over the line.
As long as Ross don't make another stupid decision by taking a player out at the wrong time, I think we should be fine. It's, do you know how annoying it is? I think it must hurt for you, obviously, if your old man being a Brewers fan. He must be taking the Michael out of you right now. And, oh, I mean, we are. If we can win and then we're a game back on them, brilliant. You know what I mean? The momentum is in our favour. But it's Woodruff, man. Oh,
it is. I mean, you know what? Let's face it. Let's be honest. It could have been worse. We could have been against Corbin Burns, you know, who is absolutely smashing for them at the moment.
Yeah.
Zero ERA, 40 Ks through four. I think it's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, just keep it. I mean, last night, I don't know what it was. I don't know if he's still trying to protect Alzolay through high leverage situations, but there was more in the tank yesterday. And when he bought Brothers on, I think it was walk, hit by pitch, and yeah. it was not good. It was not good watching at all.
I would rather watch paint dry, to be honest, than see him pitch, because it's just painful. Like, you put someone like Chafin in, or somebody who can deal with that situation. You know what I mean? There were people for it. I don't know why he gave Brothers that chance. Brothers, you put him in for an inning, hope for the best. You know what I mean? You throw the grenade and hide because it might bounce back at you, but you just do it for them innings. But that's just bad.
I don't know
what went through his mind.
I don't, to be fair. I said maybe he was trying to preserve. But I mean, he'd only gone 4.1, 4.2. So he hadn't gone far. I think he'd only got 70 pitches under the belt. We could have got more out of him. And like you said, when Rex Brothers scares me, he does scare me. And I think if from what you said earlier, if the starting pitchers are going to get hit out of the game early tonight, we'll lose. Because I think that their pen's slightly better than ours. It's not great, but I think it is slightly better. You know, when you've got the likes of Devin Williams, who you can get a few out of, you know, any situation with, you know, Hayder pitching for the save is going to be a difficult, because, you know, he's the second best pitcher in the NL Central for saves behind Craig Kimball. So, you know, it's one of them. I think if they hit the pen early, I think we've lost. I think it's a close game, though. I think it's going to be decided by one or two.
Yeah. If it ends up being a home run derby, then it's the luck of the wind. I'm against Jordan Williams, bro. He's clearly got second year blues or something going on. He ain't looking like he was. And I know it's hurting for you, Mike, because you got him on your fantasy team and he ain't getting you the numbers you wanted.
That's a hill I'm dying on, mate. That's a hill I'm dying on. I'm hoping I turned it around. Of course, you know, he had a lights out season last season, and it's just not working this year. He gave up another home run last night to Haywood. Unfortunately, it was only a solo shot, but yeah, it's not working for him currently at the moment. But I can see him turning around. But you reckon second season blues? He's gone.
He'll be back probably third year. Maybe he started off with a 60 game season. You know what I mean? Batters weren't as good. So I think he got a lucky opportunity with his first season. And now reality has hit him a little bit more. I think the pressure's on as well. He's seen as a setup man. And especially if you've got Hayden next to you, napping away saying, you better give me my opportunity to save a game. I need these saves for money. And you know what I mean? This is my life. I'm a closer. The pressure's getting on even more. So I think it is second year blues, but he probably will figure it out like most players do.
Yeah.
And it'll be all right.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I agree. So let's have a snapshot of where we are currently.
Yeah. I mean, we're 10 and 10 now, aren't we, currently? 500. Yeah. I mean, we're on the cusp of what we thought we would be in. And if we're going 10 and 10 now, and we ain't even got the Wrigley Sun yet for us, and we haven't gone to these hot places to hit home runs, I'm happy. We're keeping, even though we're getting the losses on us, we knew we'd get losses this year. We weren't ever going to be a 100-win team. If we just do a 30-game winning streak, I think we'd all be shocked. And I think we probably would think we've died and gone to heaven watching it happen. But we're in a good position. We're tied up with the Cards. The Reds are below us. And it's just the Brewers above us. And we can beat the Brewers. The Brewers will just destroy themselves, hopefully.
I think so. I think so. I mean, you just mentioned the Reds. I mean, they're on a terrible, terrible run at the moment. They got swept by the Diamondbacks. If they lose tonight, they get swept by the Cards. And then I think they go to, then I think they've got the Dodgers next week before we play them at Cincinnati next weekend. I mean, you know, they're looking at, down at the barrel thinking, if we lose tonight, we could potentially be hitting Thursday, Friday as a 10-loss streak team. And everyone was picking them up when they were 9-5. Everyone was going, we didn't give the Reds a chance. We didn't give the Reds a chance. But you know what? They're surprising us. And, you know, we can see this working now. Nah. And this is no offence to the Diamondbacks, but they're not a great team.
No.
They're not. So to be swept by them and then to come and play your divisional rivals and to lose your first two, it's not great for them, mate, at all.
I mean, I've always been a bit of the Reds hater, you know. I remember when the Reds were good about 10 years ago, and they're just trying every formula, going, making a baseball team, and it isn't baseball. They're just, you know, it's just, oh, that's a good name. That's a good name. Chuck it on the field, see what happens. It's like Mr. Burns in that Springfield episode, making a baseball team. it isn't good enough. And I think we said it on that last pod that, obviously, the sound wasn't good. They had very good matchups at the start of the season. And once they start playing the real teams and the big boys, they're going to struggle. And they have.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Castillo on the mound for them tonight, who hasn't had a great start to the season. EI of over 6 at the moment through his first couple of starts. The Cards have got Flaherty, who's a decent pitcher. It's hard to see anything again other than a Cards win and another series loss for the Reds here, mate.
It looks like it'll go to the Cards on paper. I mean, Castillo is one of them weird players. He's a bit of like a baseball anomaly where he will just have a good 5 games and then just be average. So maybe it is his time to do good, but you've got to go for the Cards here.
You have, mate. And then, let's go kind of a bit further up. So, obviously, you've got the Pirates in 4th place on a 10-11 record. Doing better than you thought they were going to, mate?
They're doing better against us than I thought.
They always do better against us, mate. Always.
They always do. If you take them wins against us off, they'll be quite a bad team. They'd be quite lucky to play us so much. But you know what? I think they were on paper better than the other bad teams around their names, but they just didn't have the names to back them. Yeah. Especially with Hayes, Ke'Bryan Hayes, their main piece being on the IL for so long, they've done well without him, which is surprising. I thought they would just flop, and they're just keeping it going. I think they have a nice system going where they're not going to start tanking yet. Hopefully they do start tanking. I hope they don't think they're competitive, because that will scare us all. We don't need another team. Hopefully, Wolves will start tanking eventually at one point. Probably the All-Star break. That's when we won't have to worry about them as much.
Mathematically, yeah. And you look at their rotation, even, you know, the likes of Bolts. I mean, he's probably their best pitcher, and it's not a great. Like you said, it's not a great team. There's no real names. Like I said, they got Ke'Bryan Hayes and stuff, but he's a name because he's such an exciting prospect, rather than an established, you know, MLB player at the moment. But you know, they're doing their thing. They're grinding out wins. I mean, they finish off at the Twins again tonight, and I'm never expecting the Twins to be as bad as they are this year. They are, I think, they're 7-12. They're not doing great. But yeah, I think you're right in saying that. Give it to the All-Star break. And then I think we'll start to potentially see the Pirates that will fall away sufficiently for them to kind of say, you know what, that's us done for the year, essentially. Because, yeah, at the moment, like I said, you've got the Brewers at 600, Austin Cards at 500, and then Pittsburgh at 476. So, you know, like I said, it's good. You know what, it is good to see, because everyone was writing the NL Central off this year. And yeah. It's actually quite an interesting league to watch because it is so choppy and changing.
I think we're quite lucky. Obviously, everyone was like, oh, the NL Central is the worst. like division. They haven't got any good teams. It was like you look at every other team. There's a powerhouse, and everyone was like, "There's no good team here. They're not going to make the playoffs." And everyone just looked down. But because there's no good teams, they've all had to be competitive, and that's what's good about baseball. There isn't a dominant winner in this division. You know what I mean? You're not sitting there going, "Do we rebuild?" You're sort of going, "We can make extra money by making the playoffs as well." You know what I mean? That mindset's probably going with the owners. So they're probably pushing for these teams to go for it. They're not going to tank yet. So
No.
it's actually come off across as being the most competitive division going, and I'm loving it.
It's great, mate. It's great. And while we're talking about competitiveness, mate, let's talk about those pesky cards in third place who just don't go away. They're always chirping in our ear. Probably about where I thought they were going to be, mate. I'd say they're a 500 team.
Yeah, I didn't think they'll be amazing, but you know what they're like. They just want to ruin our fun. They always have.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably could put it down as one of the probably great sports dynasties ever, the Cards. And it pains me to say that. I think my mum probably has disowned me for saying that, but they're just gonna, once the day we tank, they'll tank the year after just to wind us up. Because that's what they do.
That's what they
It's
do.
just annoying.
It is, and if you look at their numbers and I don't want to get too stats heavy, this isn't a stats podcast, but you look at their numbers, they're not putting up trees. Yadi's having a good year. Let's face it, he is. He's having a great year. He's still miles beyond Wilson Contreras, but that's an argument for a different kind of podcast. But their pitching's solid, but not great, and their batting's solid, but not great. It kind of reminds us a bit like us. If I'm going to be brutally honest.
Yeah, it's the complete opposite to the Reds. The Reds have tried to make this amazing team. The Cards are just going, especially Yadi, what, how many retirement seasons is he meant to be having right now? And he's still performing.
Yeah.
He's a workhorse and a half. But yeah, it's just annoying. I just want them to go away. Can we like swap divisions? Can we take the Tigers and put them in our division? Can we do a little swap around? Change up it, you know what I mean? Like it's just annoying to have them just behind us every time.
No, it is, and like I said, they're just the kind of chirp in your ear. They just never go away. Obviously, haven't played them yet as well, because that's always they're always good rivalries against the Cards.
Yeah.
They're probably the team I dislike the most by a country mile in the NL Central. And if Jamie, if you are listening, mate, they've got the Cards UK account. You're a great guy, mate, and there's no, nothing on you, but it's just a team. It's like it's have it's like do you remember what when Ryan Vaughan was at the Brewers?
Yeah.
And that was the face of all of the kind of, I suppose, I don't want to say hatred, but that was it was Ryan Braun, and he'd always come up clutch. And for me, that's what Harrison Bader's like. But I don't like him. Do not like him.
I always say that I bleed Cubby blue. But I wake up with passion of red, with that Cardinals red. I wake up, if I'm in a bad mood, I'm just seeing Cardinal red everywhere. That's
Right.
my just rage, and I just can't stand them. Like I would, it, I it's unfortunate we didn't get to see him play last year in London. But I probably would have been throwing hands. I might have turned into a bit of an ultra football ultra fan, being on the club side. I'd be like, "Who are your fans?" and everything like that. I would have gone mental if they beat us in London.
Your Stone Island coat on. Brilliant. And then I suppose kind of finally, we've got to talk about the Brewers. They are divisional leaders at the moment. That they've just come off the back of before playing us in this series. They've just swept San Diego at San Diego. I mean, no one expected that. This is a Brewers team without Christian Yelich. He's on the IL at the moment. After the start he kind of had in 2020, I'm sure that's actually not necessarily a bad thing that he's on the IL. But there again, it's a bit like the Pirates in this kind of sense, is that yes, they've got some names, as it were. Most of their names are on their pitching staff, though, let's be honest. So, you know, bar my likes of Jackie Bradley Jr., Colton Wong, etc., they haven't got massive, massive names within kind of, you know, on their starting lineup. Yet, again, they find a way to get on base. You know, I mean, the likes of, and they are good players, the likes of Avisail Garcia, Dan Robinson, Billy McKenna, they're big players, really. Yet, they're actually, their opportunities came, and I hate to say it, they took it.
Yeah. It's what you've got to do. These players, you know what I mean, they've trained their whole life to make it to the show. So I think you have that attitude of once you get the opportunity, you can't throw it away. And the Brewers are very good at making sure these players don't throw it away. I feel like every player they bring up, they always end up being this star quality. And you're just like, how is this right? This isn't fair.
Yeah.
I mean, and they've done what we've done as well in the offseason. They've got established people who do a job and they do it well. I mean, how long have they had Travis Shaw planned for them? And he's always like, oh, it's Travis Shaw. If you're a fantasy team person, you would never pick Travis Shaw. But he's always doing the numbers for them. And I don't know, man. I'm not liking the Brewers now anyway. They're creeping up to be my new rival. I'm just like, oh, I'm a walkie. I think as well, it's just Wisconsin, isn't it? Like, it's just, yeah. What's so nice about it? Before we now just get turned off from the podcast, you know what I mean? I do apologise to the people of Wisconsin. I do assume you're lovely people. You just have a terrible baseball team I don't like.
Yes, if we do have any listeners from Wisconsin listening, I'm sure it's a lovely place. I've never been. But yeah, you don't like your baseball team and I don't like your football team. there's a way to alienate some listeners. I think with how the table is at the moment, you can look at this, I reckon, in September, and I reckon it's going to be kind of almost identical. I think you're going to be bus, cards, Brewers in a three-way shootout. I think the Pirates will go. They'll start to kind of drift away. And the Reds, I've never rated. So I think where we are, that's probably kind of where we're going to be in September.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to the battle of fourth between the Reds and the Pirates. And I'd love it if the Pirates beat the Reds in the season, just to shut everyone up with the Reds, because they're not a good team. It's average players who have got names to them.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, at the moment, from his current, you know, standpoint, who would you say are looking like the worst team in baseball this season? You know, we're 20 games in, we've an eighth pretty much of the season in now. So it's still early, but I'd say that's enough time to start looking and going, yeah, they're good, they're not so good, etc. Who would you say at the moment, Joe, is probably the worst team in baseball?
The Yankees, hands down. These players should be doing their job. They're paid this money, you know what I mean? They've got an all-right coach, and they're slacking. Like, you're struggling against a weak division. You've got a good few teams in there, but you should have dominated that. You should be on the win streak that the A's are on. And it's just, I feel bad. Like, I feel bad if you're a Yankees fan. You're a bit of a glory hunter, no offence, but I feel bad for you. Welcome to losing. It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Exactly, mate. I mean, it's all well and good going to JD Sports, buying the Yankees caps, and, you know, you pinch like jerseys and going, we're the Yankees, you know. But, like you said, mate, they're struggling. I mean, they're on a bit of a win streak. They've turned it round. I listened to In Play Runs last week, and Jack, the New York Yankees UK account guy, he was covering the game. I think they were playing, it was either the Rays or the Blue. I think it was the Rays, and they lost. And I think at that point they were 6-11. Or something ridiculous. And like you said, that team shouldn't be anywhere near. You know, they've got one of the best pitchers in Gerrit Cole, who absolutely stormed last night. But I mean, it's bold to say the worst team in baseball. I love it. I do love it. But
I think it's because we have got the better pinstripes. I've always said that. Blue pinstripes over black pinstripes any day of the week.
Any day of the week, mate. Any day of the week. For me, I'm gonna go with a more conservative safe option. It's gonna be the Tigers. They are. There's. I looked at their squad the other day, and no names really jump out. And go, oh wow, you know what I mean? It's. I think they've still got Matt Boyd as their number one pitcher in their rotation. I mean, it's not a. I wouldn't say it's not a great division anyway, the AL Central, but it is because the Royals are making it very competitive this year. If it weren't for the Royals, the White Sox would be running away with that this year because the Twins have been so poor. But yeah, I think everyone just kind of takes another scalp out of the Tigers, and I think they'll finish with the worst record this season.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting little tank battle at the end of the season to see probably between the Rangers, the Tigers, Baltimore and the Pirates to get that worst record. And maybe you could even chuck in the Rockies in there just to see who gets the worst record.
Chuck in the Reds.
Yeah, not, we might as well. Chuck in the Reds there.
I agree. And you did mention, so I was trying to come back to this, mate, the 13-win streak that the A's are currently on.
Yeah.
At this time of talking, yes or no, do they get to Cleveland's 22?
Do you know what? If they have to make Moneyball 2, the streak continues and they get 23 wins and they have to make a whole new movie about it, I'm so down if they put Brad Pitt in it again. I'm down for it all. But I don't think they will. I don't think we've got Hollywood on our side right now. I mean, fair play. If they didn't have this 13-win streak, they would only have one win. They've only won 14.
Yeah.
It's kind of tragic to say, but, you know, they've done it before. They could probably do it again. Who knows? It's the A's. They're just a weird team. It's but a nice team. It's a friendly team. It's like the Cubs of the West, I feel like. Probably the A's would kill me for saying that. But...
I think so. It's just the A's, isn't it? You know, they've got the Coliseum. You know, they've got an owner who doesn't want to spend loads of money, and they're just the A's. In a division which, to be honest, I didn't have the one. Obviously, 13 win streaks helped, but if you'd have told me, oh Mike, after 2021 games, it would go Athletics, Mariners 1-2 in the AL West, sorry, I'd have told you to do one, because not a chance would I have thought the Mariners would be where they are and the A's. But, you know, I think they'll win tonight because they've got the Orioles. Let's bring it up to 14. They've got to lose at some point next week, I think, mate.
Oh, I'm just happy we're not playing them, because we would just give them a series just because we're nice like that. It's not because we're bad or anything. It's because we're nice. It's just... The West just looks doom and gloom over there. Like, the teams you thought would be good aren't doing too good. I know it's baseball, you've got to love it, but Seattle and Oakland, like, they just are the two most, to me, I love these two teams completely. I love the history to them. But it just feels like Depression City over at Oakland and Seattle. I mean, it's great they're winning. Yeah. But, man, it's horrible. Like, I couldn't sit in the stadium and watch it. I would have to go just to experience it, but it's weird. It's a weird bunch of teams.
And, you know, mate, that's the same National League and American League. If you look at the NL West, and yeah, the Dodgers are smashing it, as we all knew they would, you know, boring, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you've got the Giants, second place, and the Padres, just a game over 500. And I know the Padres are playing the Giants at the moment. But, yeah, we knew the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. The Rockies were always going to finish fifth, and the Diamondbacks were always going to finish fourth. That's how that happened. But I didn't see the Padres having this... I don't say much of a slow start, because they're still over 500. But I expected them to be probably a 600-plus team by now.
It was a bit rough, obviously. Tatis was off on the IL for a little bit. And he's come back and he's looking like Barry Bonds, going and hitting multiple home runs, are probably the two best pitchers on paper currently. But the Giants were always a sneaky team. They snuck in, I think they... players who know the system on how to win, still in their system. And they're just bringing people up. They've done it quite well. They've done a Cardinals in this situation. And if you're the Dodgers and the Padres, they must be feeling like us. Like, we've finally done it. And, they're back again. Like, let us have our chance, you know what I mean? But
Yeah.
fair play to the Giants, you know. That's when I started properly, like, getting into baseball, when they were, like, a big team, when they were going 1 year good, 1 year bad, that sort of era. And some of them players were good to see. And, like, I think Buster Posey is the pinnacle of all catchers. He's Hall of Fame, and he's still doing it. It's just like Yadi. And I like to see a breakdown between them two catchers, and seeing who is the better one overall, because that's an interesting little Hall of Fame chatter to have in the future.
No, it is, mate, certainly. And he's with the Giants as well. Again, it's one of them teams that, yeah, they've got a couple of names, but on paper, they're not blockbusters. You know,
Yeah.
yeah, the looks of Crawford, great player. Bender Bell, great players. So they are good players. But, I mean, even if you look at their pitching and the likes of, you know, DiScofani, Gausman, said, okay, they're good pitchers. But on paper, you know, it's one of them where you'd think, oh yeah, that's Dodgers Padres division any day of the week. Like I said, it's that little innocence of a team who just work. They just work together. In, let's face it, a very, very picturesque, nice stadium. Let's face it is.
It's very nice. It's very nice to look at. I think just the whole aesthetic of the Giants works. And I think they should be labelled now as the Nightmare Giants, because they're giving the West a nightmare. You know, it's not Dream Street for the Dodgers and Padres right now. They're in a nightmare with this Giants plan, and it's great to see.
It is, mate. It is. So, kind of looking forward. Obviously, we've got, you know, this is the last of our home stand for a while. We have got the Braves in the series, and then we go to the Reds as well.
Yeah.
Now, if I was to ask you, Joe, this time, well, not this time next week, but next Sunday at 11 o'clock, after we played our last game against the Reds, how do you think those seven kind of games against the Braves and the Reds are going to go down?
It's going to be a fun series against the Braves. It always is. There's something magical always happens with them two teams, and I think they just have great fun. So I think that might be a split series, and that's just me fingers crossing, but I think it'll be a split series there. And if the Reds are playing the way they're playing, that's an easy little sweep there. We're getting the brooms out, we're partying all night long, you know what I mean? And that's how I'm feeling it. I think we're gonna have how many games is it? Probably seven. I think we'll have about 4 wins, 4 or 5 wins, and a couple of losses in there, and I think we're decent.
Yeah, I've that down. I've had four out of the seven written down. I think if we win tonight, I've set plus 11-10, so it'd be a 15-13 record kind of as of next Sunday, which I think will put us in a great place. We just need to protect that pen as much as possible, mate, because it scares me.
Yeah,
Trust me.
it's a scary thing to look at. I think if you're a Cubs fan, you don't go to bed scared of your pitchers, the relief pitchers coming out from under your bed. You ain't a true Cubs fan, because they're the scary beings, you know. Why can't they just sign a relief pitcher? I know we've always said we need the bats, we need this, we need that. They should have just been always going. Kirby Yates was down on the free agent market. We could have got him. He would have done good. Even if he was like a setup man for Kimbrel, it would have been decent to have somebody like that. Even if we traded you, we could just can we have your whole bullpen and we'll just see what we do here?
Yeah,
That's my.
as we're talking, Jeremy Jeffries is still a free agent. He was great for us. Yeah.
It's
What's going on there?
BS, you know. The agent spreads rumors. I think there must have been some dodgy back. There was the whole abuse thing that's come up, and obviously the Cubs ain't going to put their hands on another player with abuse around their hands after obviously Russell. They can't
Yeah.
have anything to do with that again. But then the other one was obviously the marijuana, which I believe in baseball isn't you're allowed to do now as a drug. I think you are allowed to do it. So his argument is, well, it's an allegation and a thing I'm allowed to do, so why am I not being signed? But I mean, baseball's under bad raps anyway right now with some of the teams, so you can't really put a player who's gonna give you a little bit of a bad reputation. It's a hard one. I understand why they've not gone for him, But maybe we need to be the bad boys of Chicago. Maybe that's what we need to go for and just go for him.
Exactly, mate. And like you said, if there is, and it's proven, obviously, any kind of abuse, then obviously, rightly so, he should never play, obviously, again. But if it was for potentially having marijuana, which isn't, you know, on the exempt rule now from MLB, then, yeah, okay, it might give us a slightly, let's say, bad reputation. But, mate, I'll look at that pen, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I'll be lighting it for him if he needs
it. You know what? I would love to see the advertisement for it as we have Mike Ivory comes down to light up the spliff as Jeffries throws it. We just get Snoop Dogg coming in for the first pitch of baseball. I'm down for it, man. Let's do it.
Mate, I think we should sell this to the Cubs.
I think we should become the owners of the Cubs, and it'll just be fun. I don't think we'll ever win. We ain't got the brain or the money to make them win, but we'll just be a bunch of Sunday League players playing. Who cares?
Mate, I'm trying to imagine our team if me and you were the owners of the Chicago Cubs, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty. I'd be relief pitching because my shoulder can't take much more than throwing a couple.
Yeah. I'll be ringing up Barry Bonds saying, "You still got any juice in you, mate? Just try and play, please. We need the bats."
Oh, brilliant! This just took a turn. It really has. I think, you know, that's probably a good place to kind of leave it. It's been a couple of weeks. You know, work's got in the way. You know, life's got in the way for myself, unfortunately. But you know, it's always a great afternoon talking to you. It's always, hopefully, you know, the listeners enjoy, you know, listening to us. You know, two British guys just talking about Cubs baseball. So yeah, as to kind of wrap up here, let's sweep the Reds next week, and then we'll talk again, mate. But for anyone listening, Joe, any kind of final words?
Just go Cubs, and hopefully we do beat the Reds, isn't it? If you're listening, you're a Reds fan, you lasted this long, fair play, but we're getting that W, we're sweeping you next week.
if any listener from the NL Central, bar us, obviously us Cubs fans, are still listening, then fair play, because we've reached your teams quite relentlessly.
I do feel like we need to put a viewer discretion advice at the start of this pod, but thanks everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, innit?
Yeah, brilliant. And like Joe said, everyone, go Cubs. Thanks for listening.
See you later.